Our pleasure now to welcome Jim May. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to hear from you, and I know everybody at the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. We've been talking about it for the last month or so, talking with a storyteller each week at this time. And we saved you for last, since you would be in town this week from Illinois. Tell me a little bit about your life and how you came by a love of storytelling.
Well, I grew up on a small dairy farm in northern Illinois, just up against the Wisconsin state line. In fact, I was flying in here from Trilled and seeing all the farms and the barns that made me feel right at home. But my family's been in the same little town of 200 for about four generations. And so I kind of grew up really on family stories. You know, my uncles, my grandpa had the general store in town. My uncles were mostly farmers, you know, and they'd sit around and, you know, talk about trading a dry cow for a blind horse and who got the better of the deal, you know, those sort of things. And it was really the social fabric of the community, telling stories mostly about funny things that had happened. Also, you know, family tragedies and local legends. And I was the proverbial kid, you know, sat under the porch listening to the grown-ups up in rocking chairs talking or around the kitchen table. And I really never got tired of that. And I became a teacher. I started teaching elementary school. And I found that when I read aloud to the students, it seemed to be the most enjoyable time of the day for all of us. And then I ran into some folks down at the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee. I went down there just to learn some stories from my students and found out that the spoken story, you know, the storyteller looks you right in the eye and tells you something right out of their head, is even more powerful than literature or read aloud, which I always loved also. So I remember that first story I learned in the mountains of Tennessee. I came back and told my fifth graders, and they looked at me like, this guy's a lot more interesting than he was last Friday afternoon. You know, what the heck happened to him over the weekend? And actually, in 10 years of teaching, I had never had their attention for that long and on that level of intensity. So I knew something important had happened. Well, it's been 35 years now, and I know much more about how the brain works and how the imagination works. And I know the importance that we actually think in narrative, you know, and medical schools and corporations are starting to realize that and making storytelling more and more a part of their training and their education. So it's a thing that started out very sort of natural, because storytelling is in every family and every person, is how the mind works, to being a 33-year full-time career now and working in every setting from preschools to corporate boardrooms.
And I was curious, you mentioned that small town you grew up in Illinois. What's the name of the town?
The name of the town is Spring Grove, Illinois. It's about 60 miles northwest of Chicago. Of course, now it's gotten a lot busier, but back then it was this little backwater place with a lot of creeks and ponds, and it was like the Huck Finn growing up. I was very lucky, actually.
Is that near Itasca? Illinois?
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah.
Itasca is south and east, closer to the city, but yeah, that's in the general neighborhood.
It's up in the same direction, right?
Right, northeastern Illinois.
Yeah, it gives me a sense of the geography, at least, which is very, surprisingly, I don't know if rural is the right word today, but it's much less busy. From Pittsburgh, you can drive out half an hour or so and be in farm country, and you can do that from Chicago too, maybe a little further.
It's a similar kind of urban setting.
Have you been in Pittsburgh before to perform?
I have been here. Yes, we had our National Storytelling Association conference here some years ago. My most vivid memory of Pittsburgh is when I was in eighth grade, my family got on the old Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. First time I've ever been in a railway car with a dome. And we went from Chicago to Washington, D.C. to see my cousin ordained at the National Cathedral. And an old friend said, I'll wake you up when we get through Pittsburgh, because it was going to be at night. We can see the fire towers, you know, from the steel mills.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he woke me up, and we went up in the dome car, and there was the Pittsburgh skyline, you know, with all those with all those, I'm sure there's a technical name for them, but the fire coming out of all those steel chimneys.
Yeah,
that was my first image of Pittsburgh. And then I was here for the conference some years ago, and now, again, just so amazed at the richness of this city and the beauty of it and the universities here and the active life. It's really quite a place.
Yeah, it's and I'm glad you can be here for it. Now, Jim, we'll perform at 2:30 today at the Winchester Thurston North Campus as part of the festival. And also right around that time, he'll have a book signing taking place between 2 and 3 o'clock. And also, there's an evening concert tonight at 7. You can get the whole schedule at 3rstf.org. Now, we have probably 3 or 4 minutes if there's a little bit of a story you would like to share. That said, if that is not adequate time, I understand too.
I'll tell you a story about a character from my book, The Farm on Nipissing Creek, which is a story about growing up on a dairy farm in this little community of Spring Grove. I have a new book coming out in January called Trail Guide for a Crooked Heart, which is a collection of stories and observations on the human condition. I hope will be very useful for teachers and preachers and anyone interested in stories that kind of help you along the life's journey. But I'll tell you this one. It's about my favorite pet when I was 6 years old. Her name was Bootsy, and she was our farm dog. Now, you always think of farm dogs as being shaggy, you know, collies, blue tick, blue heelers, rather, border collies, you know, tough cow dogs. Wasn't quite true on our farm. My dad liked to cross these rat terriers with chihuahuas. And that was Bootsy, a little ornery, yappy dog, favored the chihuahua side of the family in form and temperament, but she had a country dog's heart. She liked to chase cows. And actually, she liked to attack cows. And the cows would kick when she would bite them. She'd take her little chihuahua needle teeth and just sink them right in the little soft part of the cow's heel, you know. The cows would kick, but they'd miss her every time because she was so short. It worked out pretty good. She was a cattle herding chihuahua. But I kind of watched out for her. One day, my dad brought a new cow into the farmyard, bought it at an auction. We called her the brindle cow because of her color. She was all kind of a swirl of cinnamon and brown stripes, and she looked like a Rocky Road ice cream sundae with 4 legs and a tail. We kids thought she was great, but it turns out she was a kicker. In fact, she caught my dad across the forehead. He had 7 stitches. He had to get down to the doctor, so we stayed away from her. We gave her a wide berth, you know. But Bootsy never figured that out. You know, chihuahuas don't have a lot of extra brain power to figure things out. You know, they got just enough brains and a little knobby skull to figure out basic things, you know, like eating, sleeping, wetting the rug, that kind of thing. So sure enough, 2 or 3 days later, after Dad got kicked, Bootsy went up and just nipped that brindle cow, and I thought, uh-oh, just nipped her right in the heel, just sunk her teeth in there. And the brindle cow struck just a punch, not over Bootsy's head. She had short legs, the brindle cow did, and just punched straight out and boom, caught Bootsy right between the eyes. Punted her through the air. I stood in the pasture watching my chihuahua spiraling through the clouds. My cattle herding chihuahua had become a flying chihuahua. And then she came down, that sickening funk hit the ground, and her legs kicked a couple times. The arterial blood settled down that was spurting out of her nose, and there she lay stiff, still as could be. I took her home, in a burlap bag, gunny sack, put her at the foot of the bed, cried myself to sleep. I was going to bury her the next morning in the ever-expanding pet cemetery. Next morning, I woke up. So did Bootsy. Jumped out of the sack, trotted across the plank board just as easy as you please, even cleared up this disgusting nasal snort that she had had all her life. When that cow kicked her in the head, it must have knocked the calcified booger loose or something. I don't know what happened, but she lived 10 more free-breathing years after that, and I call that story Bootsy the Cattle Herding Chihuahua.
Gosh, the imagery in that is beautiful, especially the Rocky Road ice cream.
Thank you.
Storyteller Jim May, and look for him today at 3 River Storytelling Festival, taking place at the Winchester Thurston North Campus. You can also stop by Jim's website to learn more about his books and about everything he does. JimMayStoryteller.com. Jim, thanks for being with us, and safe traveling
Thank
back
you.
To Illinois.
Thank you. Now, I'm doing a class this morning at 10 o'clock over at the site, so if people want to learn how to tell their own family stories, there's still room.
Oh, great. That's 10 o'clock this morning. Details on the festival, 3rstf.org. Thanks, Jim.